As we come to you in thankfulness this morning, we also bring our brothers and sisters who can't meet as we can. Bring your light into the darkest places now, Lord, we ask, in this moment, and bring hope, encouragement, challenge, but most of all, your peace into their lives, Lord. We are so grateful for our freedom to be able to worship without fear. And we surrender ourselves to you now to work your will in our lives for your kingdom's sake. In your name, Jesus, we ask this. Amen. So let's join together now in our worship together and celebrate as we sing Cornerstone.
He is Lord, Lord our Lord. dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne.
Sue will now lead us into our confession. We'll introduce it to us.
Yes, Lord. Our hope isn't built on anything less than your blood and your righteousness. Only by the shedding of your blood, Lord, are we forgiven. Lord, we have failed you in so many ways by being weak, ignorant, and often selfish. But you are a God of compassion. You sent Jesus to die in our place, to redeem us, to bring us back into relationship with you, so we can come before you now. And so, Lord, we kneel before you as our Lord and Saviour and ask for your forgiveness.
As ever, would you please respond with the text that's in bold? We are often slow to follow the example of Christ. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
We often fail to be known as Christ's disciples. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
We often fail to walk the way of the cross. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May the Lord enrich us with his grace and nourish us with his blessing. The Lord defend us in trouble and keep us from all evil. The Lord accept our prayers and absolve us from our offences. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Pauline will now bring us the reading. It's Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, and he's about to tell us the Beatitudes.
Yes, the reading this morning is from Matthew 5, and we're reading verses 3 through to 12. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We are about to watch a short video. There are lots of organisations, Christian organisations, that are involved in this International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. I'll mention in a bit more detail in my actual talk, but one of the groups is Open Doors, founded by Brother Andrew of God Smuggler. Another one is Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Another one is Release International, which was founded by Richard Wurmbrand, or Wurmbrandt, who, if you've read Tortured for Christ, I hope you have. And we've got three short videos today. This is the first one. This one is explaining about organisations helping secret believers. So if we could have the video, please, Mark.
C'est pas facile. Il y a une amende à payer.
أهلي أكيد إذا عرفوا إنه أنا قلبت من مسلمة لمسيحية فأكيد رح يكون الجزاء تبعي هو الموت يعني.
They push me. They will, you know, give me hard time. You know, I was crying. I would go to my on the roof and I was wondering, asking the Lord, why me?
Then some voice in my mind came and says, don't think that you are alone. I'm with you always.
There are many thousands in the country, living in their villages. They are hidden, they're secret believers, and nobody knows about them.
My big brother called me. He asked me, are you a Muslim anymore? Here I can't lie. I said, no. And you start insulting, and you have to come home now, and I will call you, I have to kill you, and okay, I keep calm. I said, okay, God bless you, I will come back. So I came back home. He asked me, you believe in Muhammad, that he's a prophet? I said, no. He told me, take off your glass. He came to beat me. His head stopped here, and his knee, he stopped here. He can't. He said he wants to beat me, but he can't. I told him, can I do something? And you have right to stop me, but I want to do it. He said, what? I just stand, and I hug him. He didn't understand that. I love them, and I have to love them. Even they now, they think that I'm a bad girl, and I love them in our case. And Jesus said, if I receive hate or evil, and I respond with evil, the evil will never end. But if I receive bad things with good things, it can end.
Je disais, mon Dieu, que soit votre volonté, c'est-à-dire.
I need prayer for to stay strong.
I want you to pray that people will experience what I was talking about. The special experience with God. The good news can change your life. Tell them the good news and they will be saved.
Let's pray. Father, as we hear today about our brothers and sisters in Christ who have such a difficult time being your people, yet you support them, you strengthen them. Please speak to us. Show us what we need to learn from today. And thank you so much for them. Amen. Today, as we've said, is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And it takes place each year across the world. And in the UK, Christian organisations, groups that help organise it are the Evangelical Alliance, Open Doors, which I mentioned before, which that video came from that was from an American branch of it, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, Release International, founded by Richard Wurmbrand, as I said. And they join together and they encourage Christians to pray for and learn about the persecuted church. Actually, a very brief advert. Tonight, there's an online event run by those groups from between 7:30 and about 8:30. And they say it will be, and I quote, an evening of prayer and worship and will feature news, testimonies and prayer requests from China, India and Nigeria. And if you do get to join it, it's only an hour, but it will open your eyes to the reality that our brothers and sisters face each day. I have put some details in the news section of the Benefits website. Right, but back to this talk. There are three things that I want us to look at today. Firstly, is the situation that many Christians around the world face, and then what we can learn from them and how we can help them. So the situation they face, what we can learn from them and how we can help them. So what's their situation? And this can only be scratching the surface. Really, it's just scratching the surface. One of those organisations I mentioned is Open Doors. And they produce each year what they call their World Watch List, where they rank countries on how severely Christians are persecuted there. Mark, could you show us this map? Thank you very much. If you look at the map, you'll see that there are some countries marked in red, then orange, then a dark yellow. The countries that are marked in red are reckoned to be countries that severely persecute Christians, at least in some parts of the country. Then there's orange, which is only very high. And then there's yellow, which is only high. You might be surprised by Russia, but there's some stuff going on there. India, some parts of India are awful. Right, so could you come back to me, please? Thanks very much. Now, we're meeting today in lockdown on Zoom, aren't we? But for many Christians, their meeting is always like that. For example, in China, where persecution has really started again. Things had opened up a lot in China for about 20 years. But the last 5-7 years, that's been getting tighter and tighter. And for example, you're not allowed to join a church service, let alone become a church member, if you're one of these five categories. If you're a member of the armed forces, if you're a government employee, if you sweep the streets, for example. If you're a member of the Communist Party, you might be interested and encouraged to know there are now more Christians in China than there are members of the Communist Party. You can't join a church service if you're a student. You can't join a church service if you're aged under 18. That cuts out a lot of people, doesn't it? And the saddest one, perhaps, is that last one. If you go to a church where they know about you, there are cameras outside the churches, and they use face recognition software to identify everyone who goes in. Some churches have cameras inside so they can see what people are doing, what people are saying. And this blows me away, this bit. Some pastors that preach, knowing that the authorities that the chief of police from that, from their town is watching, and they preach specifically to them. Moving to Nigeria. Nigeria is a country where most Christians are murdered each year. Pakistan. Each year, something like 700 Christian women and girls are kidnapped, raped, forcibly converted and married to Muslims. There, the majority, not every Christian, but majority of Christians in Pakistan can only work in menial jobs, e.g. making bricks or cleaning sewers. Open Doors say that the country most difficult to live in as a Christian is North Korea. And when I first heard these figures, which I'll now tell you, I just didn't realise. There's something like 50 to 70,000 Christians in North Korea who are in labour camps just for being Christians. If you scale that up to our sort of population size, that would be like 130,000 to 185,000 Christians in prison just for being Christians in this country, our population size. That's twice the current UK prison population, and we have the highest prison population per head of population in Europe. We're meeting on Zoom today, aren't we, with no threat to us. Imagine what it would be like if you were in China. Actually, you don't need to, because we're going to see a short video of what might happen to our little Zoom meeting. Mark, could we have that? Thanks.
Welcome, everyone. Is Pete here? Jenny?
She did say she was coming.
Well, let's get started and hopefully they'll join us. It's just so good to gather and enjoy fellowship. How's everyone doing?
Yeah. Doing okay, but we do miss you all. It's hard not being able to gather together.
Jane, I think you're down to do our first reading.
Yes, today's reading is from Matthew 20, starting...
Jane seems to be having some technical problems. Well, while we wait, does anyone have anything they'd like to share?
I've been thinking it'd be great if we could pray for people who've lost their jobs or people who've been threatened with losing their jobs unless they agree to stop meeting.
And what I would really like to pray for, protection and for the leaders as well.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm sure Pete and Jenny will appreciate your prayers too.
During our prayer time last week, we had some trouble with the neighbours.
Oh, sorry, Chris. Chris, we lost you for a minute there.
Oh, sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's good.
Last week, we had some trouble. There were people banging on the doors and the windows.
Did the police come?
Yeah. Sam was pretty scared when he saw them at the door. Jesse's too young to understand, thankfully.
Are they finding it difficult?
Yeah, it's been tough on them. Sam's been told he can't go back to school. He's really missing his friends, but we're proud of him, you know, for taking a stand.
Perhaps we could pray for those who don't know where their loved ones are and those who've lost their loved ones.
Yeah. So, has anyone heard from Matthew? He disappeared on his way home on Monday. He vanished.
It's Jenny. She says Pete's been taken.
What? We got the text as well.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in your word you say that you will never leave nor forsake us. We pray now. For
Pete. Hey! Who are you? No.
We pray that when our faith is tested, we would stand strong.
No, get off. No. No, please, stop. No. Where's my wife? What have you done with my wife?
Graham? Graham?
What just happened? Can someone tell me what happened?
Hello? Graham?
Who's going to do this now?
That's what happens in some countries, in China, for example. In China, churches have colourful names, actually. One host church is called Early Rain. It's a Reformed church, a bit like the United Reformed Church here. But a couple of years ago, in December 2018, this is just an example of what goes on there. Their main pastor, a bloke called Wang Yi, and over 100 church members were arrested. I'm not sure what happened to the 100 plus. I think they were all released eventually. But a year later, after a secret trial, Wang Yi was sentenced to 9 years in prison. Secret trial, wife didn't know about it for another year. He was found guilty of, and I quote, inciting subversion and illegal business operations. But all he actually did was to peacefully stand up for churches and Christians targeted by the Chinese government. Now, he knew that this might well happen. So beforehand, he prepared a statement that would be distributed 2 days after any arrest. And he says in that, I'll just read you one paragraph from it. He says, "Separate me from my wife and children, ruin my reputation, destroy my life and my family. The authorities are capable of doing all these things. However, no one in this world can force me to renounce my faith." And that's a bold thing to say before being arrested and before they start to work on you. But he knew God would hold him, keep him through all the stuff that's going on over the next 7 years. A couple of years ago, and last year as well, Sue and I went to an Open Doors event in Birmingham. And there were some speakers there, three speakers at each of those events. 2 years ago, there was a North Korean woman speaking who'd escaped from North Korea and who'd been in a labor camp. And she told of unspeakable things that happened there. She was actually eventually set free, though many died there, and she escaped to China. She and her family, the family who got there, not everyone did. They lived in the forest, keeping away from the authorities, because the Chinese authorities, if they catch you, they send you back to North Korea. But this young lady, she would break into a military camp to lead Bible studies with wives of army officers. So question for us is, why is the persecuted church so very different from much of the Western church, including the Church of England for a large part, and different from us in many ways? I'm not saying this as an excuse, but perhaps it's a reason. We're distracted by physical and material comfort. The Christian church often grows most when Christians have little else. You may have heard of Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch lady whose family hid Jewish people during the Second World War until they were found out. And Corrie and her sister, and I think her dad, were sent to a concentration camp. Corrie said, "You only realize that Jesus is all you need when Jesus is all you have." I'll say that again. You only realize that Jesus is all you need when Jesus is all you have. Now, I don't know if she was the first person to say that, but many in the persecuted church will agree with what she said. That's why the Jesus' words at the end of the Beatitudes mean so much. And I'll just read the last three verses again that Pauline read earlier. Jesus said, Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. There's another, well, there are a good number of passages about suffering, particularly in the New Testament. And one that's well known is a passage in Romans 8. we know the verse which says that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, and about how nothing can separate us from the love of God. But if you were to look at Romans chapter 8, you'll see that if you're looking in an NIV, ESV, or Good News Bible, or at least the ones I've got, they start the section, the translators put in a section, starting at verse 18 of chapter 8. And you can look that up at some point if you like. But for some reason, they put it there rather than before 8:17, which is where I think the persecuted church would do it if they were putting a heading in. 8:17 says, this is Paul had been speaking about us being inheriting the kingdom, being children of God. Before those promises about all things working for the good of those who love God, Paul wrote in 8:17, now, if we are children of God, then we are heirs, H-E-I-R-S. We are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Paul expected Christians to share in Christ's sufferings. That's part of the section. Our Christian brothers and sisters aren't distracted in the way that we are. They, and I quote from Hebrews 12, verse 2, they fix their eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of their faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. They expect that to happen to them as well. That, for them, is part of being a Christian. So more questions. Where is your faith compared to theirs? Question for me, where is my faith compared to theirs? And why is our faith as it is? Last point, last section. How can we help them? We've seen their situation. We've seen the sort of thing we can learn from them, just briefly. How can we help them? Our persecuted brothers and sisters ask us to pray for them. And they don't mean, I'll pray when I've got a few spare minutes. They mean coming to pray to God for them, with them weighing on our heart, when we mean with all our heart what we're saying. What would get us to pray that way? We know this. We need to see what's truly important in the world, not stuff we have. We should be blown away by what Jesus did for us on the cross. And when we meet, we can appreciate things in the service, but it shouldn't be what actually draws us to Christ. It shouldn't be the beauty of the service, whether it's good liturgy, good organ, wonderful worship music. That shouldn't be part of being part of a really good church, but by who Jesus is and what he did for us. And lastly, we can make a huge difference for so many Christians by giving financially to organisations such as the ones already mentioned. Now, some people don't like their money going in aid to other countries, because sometimes the aid that goes on stretches the definition of the word aid, really. But with these Christian organisations, the money's really well spent. And I'll read quickly through some things that Open Doors says they do. They say they distribute Bibles and Christian resources so that persecuted Christians can be nourished with God's word. How would you get on as a Christian with no Bible? They train Christians and church leaders so they can stand strong for Jesus Christ. They support victims of violence and disaster so they can live independent, fulfilled lives. They bring hope to the Middle East so that Christians in the Middle East can live with dignity and hope, because Christians in the Middle East have basically been left by just about everyone else. They support what they call secret children, to give them protection, provision, and a Christian education. If you're in Pakistan, it's really hard for children of Christians to get schooling. So Christian organisations help them out. And obviously, like today, they mobilise the church in the UK and Ireland. So, you know, we're G'd up, we're encouraged to support persecuted Christians. And they raise awareness, encourage prayer. Another Christian organisation I haven't mentioned so far is Barnabas Fund. And let's take one example of what they do. You may or may not know that in East Africa, obviously they've got COVID-19, and you may have heard of huge swarms of locusts destroying people's crops. Have a guess how many people, how many Christians they've been supporting there in East Africa? 600,000. 600,000 Christians being fed by Barnabas Fund. This is where the money goes. For example, for £21, for 21 quid, you could support an African Christian family for 3 months. That's 21 quid, an entire family for 3 months. That's basically all I'm going to say. Hopefully that's helped you see a bit of what the persecuted church suffer and struggle with. At the end of the service today, we'll have another chance to stay in our breakout groups. So if you can stay, if you're ever going to stay, please do today and have a chat together about what your response should be. Shortly, we'll have another short video, not quite yet, but shortly, about the top five worst countries the persecution of Christians. But let's pray first. Father, if other people are like me, we're gobsmacked by what is happening to ordinary Christians, over 200 million ordinary Christians around the world. Thank you for the example they set us. Thank you for the challenge that they set us. Lord, we often pray to be more like you. Here we just ask to be more like them. Amen. Let's worship together. Let's sing Faithful God.
Your throne of grace, I find rest in your presence and fullness of joy. In worship and wonder I behold your face, singing what a faithful God.
Faithful.
sovereign, granting peace from heaven. Let me comfort those who suffer with the comfort you have given. And I will tell of your great love for as long as I live.
We're meeting together, and let's encourage each other as we declare our faith together. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son,
who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love.
We believe in God the Holy Spirit,
who strengthens us with power from on high.
We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we and our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church are the body of Christ. In the one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
And as best we can, let's share the peace together.
Hello.
It's the Lord be with all of you. As promised, we're now going to watch another short video. This will be from Open Doors UK, I think it is, telling us or showing us a bit of information about those top five worst countries for being a Christian in.
What would you do if your faith put you in danger? If it meant facing insults and abuse, not getting a job or education, being assaulted, imprisoned, even killed? Hundreds of millions of Christians live in countries where choosing to follow Jesus means danger and persecution. And these are the five countries where their faith costs the most. Number 5, Pakistan. Where Christians can be falsely accused of blasphemy. They are denied education and work opportunities. Churches are bombed. Christians are jailed on false charges. But Pakistani Christians are determined to meet to worship. Number 4, Libya, where there are only some 150 Libyan Christians. Churches for Libyans are forbidden. Christian migrants are targeted, executed by militants or sold into slavery. But Libyans are coming to Christ through TV, radio, and web. Number 3, Somalia, where Christians can be killed on the spot. All citizens are assumed to be Muslims. militant groups want to eradicate all Christians. Owning a Bible can mean instant execution. But Christians meet in secret and many Muslims seek Christ. Number 2, Afghanistan, where Christians have to hide, even after death. Islamic extremism is everywhere. Christians are buried as Muslims because their relatives would be punished. But people still meet Christ in dreams. Number 1, North Korea, where leaders are worshipped like gods. There is no freedom. People live under constant surveillance. 50 to 70,000 Christians are imprisoned. But in prisons and safe houses, North Koreans are coming to Christ. Open Doors exists to strengthen and support persecuted Christians wherever they are and for as long as they need it. Through the gifts and prayers of Open Doors supporters, our global underground networks are able to reach millions of Christians with food and medicine, spiritual care, smuggle Bibles and Christian books, training and legal advice. Homes are rebuilt, lives are rescued, churches restored. For over 60 years, Open Doors has stood with Christians whose faith puts them in danger, who dare to share Jesus, no matter the cost. Because as Christians, we are family, one body, one church. And when your family is in danger, there's only really one question to ask. What will you do?
We are going to sing in a few seconds. We'll be singing All I Once Held Dear. Now there are some, these words are challenging. I'm sure you do think of what you're saying, what you're singing when you sing Christian songs, Christian hymns. Today is a really good time to do that. So let's sing together All I Once Held Dear. A time of prayer led by Sue, who will lead us in praying particularly for Christians in those five worst countries.
Knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing, we've just sung. And Lord, we want to know you more. As we come before you now, Lord, we surrender ourselves as best we know how. We open up our minds and hearts to you. Speak to us, Lord, now in the stillness and the quiet. Let's take a moment to think through the words and images we've seen this morning. And we ask you, Lord, to touch our hearts for what touches yours. Lord, may your spirit move among us now as we open up ourselves to you in prayer. Lord, we are in need of your refreshment, your wisdom, and your guidance for the days ahead. We trust you and look to you, Lord. We want to see your kingdom come. When all around seems chaotic and unsure, help us to keep our eyes on you and what you are showing us through your word. Help us to make time in the busyness of life to pause and spend some time with you. We will daily ponder on your word and seek you to cast out our fear and anxiety. We will spend time appreciating all you have given us. We are so truly, truly blessed. We bring to you the leaders of our nation and those around the world. Give wisdom, Lord, and integrity to them to make just and lasting decisions. Decisions that will benefit many, especially those who are marginalised. We pray for the US in the new Biden administration. We ask for peace and calm, and for people to be moved to act for the good of all, to seek unity, to break down barriers and prejudices, but to do it in a peaceful way. We pray for our own leaders as they seek to guide us through this next stage of lockdown. We thank you for the light at the end of the tunnel. We thank you for the possibility of a vaccine that potentially could eradicate this awful virus. But may this be used wisely. We pray for the most vulnerable, both here and worldwide, to be able to have access to this. We pray for our church leaders. We ask for your spirit to be poured out on them afresh throughout this country and worldwide to help their voice to be heard. Revive your church, Lord, and stand up and commit to prayer. Holy Spirit, come and work through us, your people, to bring renewal in this country and in the places we've been looking at this morning. And I ask you just to take your cross now and just to hold it or to look at it as we pray for these countries. Jesus died for all people from every nation. And we'll pray now for the Christians who face persecution and hardship. It's hard for us to comprehend what it's like living under such oppressive regimes that rule by intense fear. So hold your cross now as we bring each of these countries before God. I will mention something about each country and then pause for you to have some quiet prayer. We think of North Korea. How would we feel if we had to be afraid of our families, our children, handing us over to authorities for owning a Bible, for praying, or for worshipping God? Break the evil, Lord, that is holding North Korea in such terror. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
We think of Pakistan. We bring those who are ostracized because of their faith, who are only offered menial jobs. They have little or no education. They face the possibility of their places of worship being destroyed and bombed, and are in danger of false charges bringing them to imprisonment. Protect and strengthen the Pakistani Christians, Lord. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
And we think of Afghanistan. We pray for this land where Islamic extremism is rife, where Christians even have to be buried as Muslims to protect their families. We pray for God's power to overrule in desperate situations. Lord, we pray for more and more Muslims to come to know you, Jesus. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
And we pray for Libya, for the small minority who are Christians there, that although they are few in number, we pray that they may be strong and grow. Protect them from the dangers of slavery and execution. We pray that Libyans may hear the gospel through technology, since no churches are permitted for them to join. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
and for Somalia. We pray here for the Christian message to reach to the Muslims in this country. Many Christians meet secretly, but Muslims are coming to Christ. The church is growing. Pour out your spirit on this land, Lord. Life-giving Lord.
Hear us, we pray.
Lord, you are sovereign over all. You reign supreme, and one day every knee will bow before you. Lord, as Christians, we know we have a hope and a future with you. And help us to hold on to that throughout our lives, whatever we face. We move into thinking about those that we love and care for here in our families and community. We pray for those facing physical and mental issues that impair their everyday life. Also for those who are going through difficult times, having lost a loved one. Lord, we believe you can heal, and we acknowledge your power, compassion, and authority. In your name, we pray for those who need your healing touch. And we bring you our friends. We bring you Barbara and Janet, Stephen and Jocelyn, Mark and Mary Robinson, Joan Thurgill, Marnie. And we pray for Tom and Emma and their new little boy, Arlo. I just leave a space now for you to bring before God those who you would like to ask for prayer for whatever reason. Lord, bring strength, support, and healing to these dear people that we love. And bring it in a way, Lord, that only you can. Lord, listen to the cries of our hearts. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And as Christians are doing all around the world, let's join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. And please do say it in whichever version you find most helpful. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we forgive those who sin against us, can you imagine praying that in North Korea, China, Afghanistan? Before our final prayer, we'll sing together Before the Throne of God Above, which reminds us of who God is, his love for us, and how he cares for us.
A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart.
We now draw to a close in our service this morning. And this is our final prayer together. The Lord bless us and keep us.
Amen.
The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us.
Amen.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace.
Amen.
The Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the holy and undivided Trinity, guard us, save us, and bring us to that heavenly city where he lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
So, let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord and our brothers and sisters in Christ.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for being with us today. If you can stay for our breakout groups, which will start in 5 minutes, that would be lovely. If not, hope you have a really good week.